Good morning, everyone. I'm going to be reading from Judges chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. Now Jephthah of Gilead was a great warrior. He was the son of Gilead, but his mother was a prostitute. Gilead's wife also had several sons, and when these half-brothers grew up, they chased Jephthah off the land. "You will not get any of our father's inheritance," they said, "for you are the son of a prostitute." So Jephthah fed from his brothers and lived in the land of Tob. Soon he had a large band of rebels following him. At about this time, the Ammonites began their war against Israel. When the Ammonites attacked, the leaders of Gilead sent for Jephthah in the land of Tob. They said, "Come and be our commander. Help us fight the Ammonites." But Jephthah said to them, "Aren't you the ones who hated me and drove me from my father's house? Why do you come to me now when you're in trouble?" "Because we need you," they replied. "If you will lead us in battle against the Ammonites, we will make you ruler over all the people of Gilead." Jephthah said, "If I come with you, and if the Lord gives me victory over the Ammonites, will you really make me ruler over all the people?" "The Lord is our witness," the leaders replied. "We promise to do whatever you say." So Jephthah went with the leaders of Gilead, and he became their ruler and commander of the army. At Mizpah, in the presence of the Lord, Jephthah repeated what he had said to the leaders.
Thank you, Tracy. We know that the Lord always adds his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you for your word to our heart this morning, and as we once again open your word together, we pray that you would speak to our heart today. We would see you, that we would hear from you, that our hearts would be challenged and refreshed and nourished and taught. As we continue to look into these men of faith that you used to do amazing things. Thanking you, Lord, that you use ordinary people just like us with our struggles, with our weaknesses, with our shortcomings. And when we give them to you, Lord, your Spirit can work through us and to do amazing things. And so, Father, open our hearts to hear from you today. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Our tongues can often get us into trouble sometimes. We can often end up saying something that we later regret, and we wish we could have taken it back. We sang that song, "Oh, be careful, what you little tongue, what you say," because it so beautifully relates into the title of our message this morning, into what we're going to talk about in our focus of our message this morning. Perhaps you and I'm sure, can think back to your times in your life where when you said something and you wished after you said it, as soon as you said let those words fly out of your mouth, maybe in a moment of anger, you wished, "Why did I say that?" You know, and you wished you could have taken it back. But unfortunately, when those words are spoken and they're out there into the air, there's no way we can take them back again. And we have to live with the consequences of them. This morning we're going to discover somebody who said something and wished after he did that he wished he could have taken his words back. And we're going to learn from him this morning about how what we say, we need to be careful about what we say, because our words really make a difference. We have titled this series Zeros and Heroes, and if ever there was a man in the book of Judges that we would have considered a zero, this is probably one of them as well. We've seen many of them, and we wonder how God could use these people. This was a man we definitely probably would have put road off from the very beginning if you read his account of his birth, as Tracy read it for us. His father's name was Gilead, and that's the town where he lived and where he grew up, but his mother was a prostitute. And right away, that's somebody we would write off and say, "Hey, how could they ever be used of anything for God?" But I love that God in his word records for us all these kind of things, because it lets us know, you know, he can use anybody just like us, right? But his mother was a prostitute, and he came from a conflicted home where him and his half-brothers had this conflict and fight amongst themselves. And as we look at his story this morning, we're going to discover two main reasons why we need to be careful about what we say, because our words do make a difference. First thing we discover is that words have consequences. That's why we need to be careful what we say with our tongue, because our words have consequences. As the story unfolds, again, Israel did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Gideon is now gone and passed from the scene. And the deliverance that he brought after that was short-lived, as we had seen. The people had fallen into sin again. They cried out to the Lord once again, and he raised up another deliverer, this time a man by the name of Jephthah. And Jephthah hears the call of the Lord, and the Spirit comes upon him, and he answers that call. But words have consequences, and because words that are spoken in resentment can often lead to distrust and division. And as we first meet Jephthah, that's what we find. We find that he was from the town of Gilead. As I mentioned, his mother was a prostitute, but his father's wife, legitimate wife, had also had legitimate children. And apparently, Gideon, by this time, Gilead had passed away from the scene, and the inheritance was about ready to be divided up. So they were dividing up the inheritance, and there became a fight between them. And the true legitimate sons of Gilead resented the fact that Jephthah would get any part of the inheritance. So they didn't want him getting any of the inheritance, so they drove him away. And they made him leave the land, and then it came time that attack came, that Amorites came and started to take over the land again, as happened with Israel because of them falling into sin. So they come to Jephthah and they said, come and be our leader. Come and bring deliverance and help. Now they drove him away because they didn't want him around them and to share in the inheritance. But now when the hard times come and they need him, they bring him back. Isn't that human nature? You know, we don't want somebody, we resent them sometimes, but then when we need them, we say, oh, can you help me? Jephthah, in getting here in the call, says, well, you drove me away. You said you didn't want me around here anymore, and you drove me away. Now you're in trouble, and you come to me. You come and want me to help you. He said, what's going to say that you're going to drive me away again? And see, those words that were in resentment, because his half-brothers resented him and did not want him getting part of the inheritance, it led to division and distrust. Because Jephthah was wondering, well, first they were split, the family was split, they were divided, but then he didn't feel that he could truly trust him. And you can understand why, right? If you were in Jephthah's position, would you have a hard time trusting your brothers again? And it led to distrust. And it was resentment that was at the heart of those words that were shared to Jephthah. And it was that resentment that drove him away. And when we have resentment in our heart and speak out of resentment or bitterness to somebody else, it can lead to division, distrust, and disharmony within a family or a home or a relationship. It can end up damaging your relationship. That's why words have consequences. We see it here. It affected the relationship that Jephthah had with his brothers. And he didn't know if he could trust them again. And they were divided. They were split. And that can happen in our life with words spoken in resentment. Sometimes we resent that we feel that we get passed over in somebody else, and we feel we get passed over, and we can get resentment in our heart towards that person. We can get resentment in our heart when maybe someone has something that we wish we had. And that resentment in our heart can lead to bitterness. And words that are spoken out of that kind of conflict and that kind of heart can lead to to that division and that distrust. And we see that here, in that words have those consequences in our life. Words also have consequences because words spoken in dishonesty can often lead to conflict. Not only out of resentment leading to division and distrust, but when we speak out of dishonesty, conflict arises. Verse 13 through 33 of chapter 11, and we're referring to this whole chapter. Jephthah then agrees that he will lead the nation, and he agrees that he'll help his brothers out. So he sent a message to the king of the Amorites, and he said, "Why have you come against us and attacked our country?" he asked him. And the king of the Amorites answered with a message, and he said, "Well, when Israel came up out of Egypt, they took away my land from Arnon to the Jabbok all the way to Jordan. Now give it back to me peacefully." Basically, he said, reason why I'm attacking your land is because you took the land that belonged to me. And he was the king of Ammon. We talked about the Ammonites before. The Ammonites came from a incestuous relationship between Lot and his daughter after they were driven out of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And they lived down towards the Dead Sea. And when Israel had traveled out of Egypt, God would not allow them to go into the territory of the Ammonites because they were kind of cousins. They were related. So they did not go into territory. They went around it. But the king here was telling them, you took my land that belonged to me, and that's why I am attacking you. It was a dishonest statement. He wasn't being honest. And he was trying to stir up conflict. And when someone ever been dishonest with you and you know it? And someone's speaking something to you and you know that what they're saying is not true? I mean, it brings conflict in our life. And that's what was about to happen here. And this conflict was going to break out because the Ammonite king was not being honest. He knew that it wasn't his land that was taken by Israel. And so Jephthah responds with an answer. And he said that it wasn't your land. Look down in verse 23. He said, "Now since the Lord, the God of Israel, has driven out the Amorites before his land, what right have you to take it over?" It wasn't the Ammonites, it was the Amorites. It was a different group of people altogether that Israel, when they had come and conquered their land, and God had given it to them. And then Jephthah said, "We also had the right to take it because God gave it to us." But he reminded him and gave him a history lesson and said, "What you're saying isn't true." And he presented him with the facts. And when he presented him with the facts, the king still didn't accept that. And he attacked anyway, which led to his destruction, and it led to conflict. When someone's lying to you and you try to present them with the facts and they don't accept that? Has that ever happened to you? And you try to give them the facts and you try to resolve the conflict by trying to present the facts and share what really happened, and they don't want to hear it, and they don't want to hear what you're telling them. And I've been in situations like that, and they don't want to hear it. You try to tell them, and they don't want to hear it. And often, that doesn't bring about a peaceful situation. It just continues to help the conflict to continue to rise and develop. And that's what happened here. But it wasn't the Ammonites, it was the Amorites. And the king knew that. And he was being dishonest. And words that are spoken in dishonesty can often lead to a greater conflict. And it's a lesson we learn here, that words have consequences in our life. Words also have consequences because words spoken in haste can often lead to regret. And here's where a lot of us get in trouble. Where we say something because we don't think about it, and just say it, what pops into our head, and we don't think, and then afterwards we said, "You know, I shouldn't have said that. We lose our temper with somebody, and we say something in anger, and afterwards say, why did I say that? Or we make a promise or a commitment, and then afterwards we think, you know, I shouldn't really have done that. And that was here in the case with Jephthah. In verse 34 and 35, we see that he spoke quickly without thinking of the consequences of what he say. And often when we speak without thinking of the consequences of how our words will be received or what we mean, that's when we can often get in trouble. And that's what happened here. Because when Jephthah went over to fight the Ammonites, the Lord gave them into his hands. And he devastated 20 towns. But in verse 34, when Jephthah returned to his home, who should come out to meet him but his daughter, dancing with the sound of tambourine? And she was his only child, except for her he had neither son nor daughter. And when he saw her, he tore his clothes and cried, "Oh, my daughter, you have made me miserable and wretched, because I have made a vow to the Lord that I cannot break." And Jephthah, going into the battle, said, "Lord, if you bring me victory, and if you give me victory over the Ammonites in this war, but the first thing that comes out of my house, I will sacrifice to you." And most likely, Jephthah thought it would be an animal or something like that. But when he came back from the battle, his daughter was excited to see him, as she would be. Any child's happy to see their dad when they come home from war. And she come out running with the sound of tambourines because the victory had been won. And Jephthah's heart was broken because he spoke rashly and he spoke quickly and he spoke in haste without thinking the consequence, like what would happen if. And he made that commitment and that vow to the Lord that he couldn't break, and it led to regret. How often that happens with us. She was his only daughter, and it would have meant the end of his family line in the hope of any inheritance at all. The scripture says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2, "Do not be quick with your mouth, and do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. Because God is in heaven and you are in earth, so let your words be few. Because the Lord hears what we say." As we're going to see, he holds us accountable for the words that we speak to him. We're going to come back to this later, because there's been a big debate as I studied this between the scholars on, did Jephthah really sacrifice his daughter to the Lord or not? And there's been a big debate on that. But at this point, it led him to regret what he said. And he tore his robes. Instead of coming home in victory and in celebration, when he saw her, he had regret because he had spoken hastily. Big lesson for us. Don't speak quickly without thinking. And all of us, if we're guilty, fall into that. Words also have consequences, because words spoken in anger can lead to suffering. We've all experienced that in our life. When either someone, when we in anger have lashed out at somebody else, or when someone in anger has lashed out at us, and that has caused suffering, either emotionally, physically, or many other ways. Because those words spoken in anger hurt, and those words spoken in anger are like a knife, are destructive. Going on to chapter 12. It's interesting what happens after this battle is done. After Jephthah won the victory and the Ammonites were defeated and destroyed, it should have been a time of great celebration, but Jephthah's heart was already heavy because of the vow that he had made about his daughter. But now the tribe of Ephraim hears about the victory. And they come to Jephthah, and they cross the force of the Jordan River on the other side, because Gilead was on the eastern side of the Jordan River. Ephraim was on the western side. So they cross the Jordan River, and they confront Jephthah. And they say to him, "Why didn't you call out and ask us to help you to go into battle with you?" After the battle was done, they come and volunteer. You know, there's always a lot of Monday morning quarterbacks that like to take credit after the victory's done. And, you know, now they want their share of the glory, and the victory was already won. They say, why didn't you come and ask us to help you? If you read Judges, if you read the book of Judges, and we're talking about Gideon, we'd seen that they had already pulled the same trick on him. And they did the same thing to Gideon after the battle was done. And Jephthah says, well, I did call you, but you didn't respond. You didn't want to come and help. Now that the battle's won, you want your share of the glory. And so they were angry. And they said to him then, they said, because you didn't call us to help you, we're going to burn your house down on your head. We're going to tear your house down and burn your house down with you in it. That's what we're going to do to you. That's words of anger. And because they were, again, were speaking out of anger and hostility. So how did Jephthah handle this? Verse 4 says, he called together all the men of Gilead that had followed him, and they fought against Ephraim. And the Gilead struck them down because the Ephraimites said, you Gileads are renegades. You're nothing more than renegades. And from Ephraim and Manasseh. So the Gileads captured the fords of the Jordan, leading back to Ephraim, and they couldn't go home. They captured the side of the river. And any time they would come and say, let me cross over, the men of Gilead asked them, are you an Ephraimite? Are you from Ephraim? And if they replied no, and this is interesting what they did here. If they replied no, then Jephthah said, tell them to say Shibboleth, which means stream in Hebrew. If they tell you they're not from Ephraim, you ask them to say the word Shibboleth. And that will tell you. And they say, well, why? What that mean? Well, it's because the Ephraimites couldn't pronounce the SH sound. They could only say an S. So if they were to pronounce Shibboleth, they pronounced it Sibboleth without the SH. And they knew they were lying to them. They knew they were from that part of the tent. And then they killed them. And it says there that many of them died. And they suffered because of that anger and their hostility. 42,000 of them were killed at that time. And it led to great suffering because of their words spoken in anger. And that's what we learn from this lesson. When we speak in anger, it leads to great needless suffering. And the suffering really was needless. But it was because the Ephraimites, in anger and hostility, spoke out. And how often do we see hostility happen? And needless suffering happen in our homes, in our relationships, because in anger we speak and then wish later on we wouldn't. Words have consequences. And so we need to be careful what we say, he reminds us. The second reason why we need to be careful what we say is because words matter. Not only what we say have consequences, but what we say matters. It matters because the Lord takes our words seriously. And whatever we say, to either someone else or especially to God, he takes us serious on that. And he holds us accountable, which takes us back again to Jephthah and this vow. And the vow that he made when he spoke, even though it was hastily, even though he wasn't maybe thinking of what the consequences could be, the Lord still took that vow seriously and held Jephthah to it and held him to fulfill it. In chapter 11, verse 11, as Tracy read it for us, whenever his half-brothers came to him and said, come and help us again, and he said, well, you only want me to help you because you're in trouble now, they said, well, it doesn't matter. We want you to help us now, and we'll follow you. We promise we'll do what we say. Now, Jephthah had reason to believe that they wouldn't do what they say because they had already driven him out. But he said, we promise we'll do what we say. So it says in verse 11 that he repeated all the words before the Lord at Mizpah. Now, we could miss that, and we could read over that and go on and say, okay, so what's that mean? But that's significant why the Lord put that there. If you go back to Genesis chapter 31, you read about what Mizpah was. It was a special place. It was a special pillar of stones that was set up for a particular reason. Genesis chapter 31 tells us a story that Jacob had tricked his brother Esau out of the birthright. And Esau was threatening to kill him, so he fled to his uncle Laban's house. And he had spent years there at his uncle Laban's house working for him. His uncle Laban told him that if he worked 7 years for him, he could have his daughter Rachel as his bride. Remember the story. So he worked the 7 years for her, but his uncle Laban tricked him and gave him Leah instead. On the day of the wedding, he thought he was marrying Rachel, and ended up, when the veil was pulled back, it was Leah. What a shock. So he worked another 7 years for Rachel. And then eventually he tricked them into the flocks, but he worked for him over 30-some years, and his uncle Laban kept taking advantage of him and deceiving him. So finally, Jacob said, I've had enough, and I'm going back. I'm going back to my homeland. So he left, and Laban followed him and pursued him and said, why are you leaving? Because Laban had seen that Jacob leaving was taking all his prosperity with him. He said, why are you leaving? And he said, I'm leaving because you have taken advantage of me, and you have not lived up to your word, and you have not done what you said you would do. And so they made a commitment to each other at a place called Mizpah. And the words say that may the Lord watch between you while we are absent, one from the other. And people have quoted that Mizpah blessing, thinking it's a great thing. But really what it was the Lord holding them to account that if they didn't do what they said, God was watching, and he was going to hold them accountable for that commitment. And so Jephthah remembered that, and he went to Mizpah, that same place where Jacob and Laban had made that witness, and said, and he poured out his words there as a witness to the Lord. And that word Mizpah means watchtower. It means that the Lord is keeping watch, and the Lord is holding us accountable. So he takes those words seriously. When we say something, he is watching from above. So be careful, little eyes, what we say, because the Father up above is looking down in love. And Mizpah means that place of watch, where the Lord is keeping watch over what we say to see if we're going to do and keep our commitments and do what we promised him. And so he takes those words seriously. Tying that back into Jephthah then, with the sacrifice of his daughter, he made that commitment that whatever comes before me, I will sacrifice to the Lord. And there's been a debate on whether he actually sacrificed her or dedicated her to the Lord, but the Lord takes those vows seriously. And it says here in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 4 through 6, whatever you make a vow to God, do not delay in fulfilling it, for he takes no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. It is better not to make a vow than to make one and not fulfill it. Do not let your mouth lead you into sin, and do not protest to the temple messenger, saying, my vow was a mistake, which Jephthah could have done. And why should God be angry at you and say, destroy the work of your hands? We read it in the Old Testament that vows were voluntary. You didn't have to make a vow to the Lord, but if you made one, the Lord held you accountable for what you said. Today, one of the greatest vows we make is our vows to one another in marriage, right? And it's a vow, a commitment that we make between each other and God that he holds us to till death do us part. A vow that we've taken very seriously and not to be broken. That's every vow that we give before the Lord. How many times have you heard someone say, and I hear it as a pastor many times, when they go through a time of sickness or hospital, and someone's going through a great sickness, say, if the Lord brings me through this and I get through this, I promise that I'll be in church every single Sunday. I promise that I'll do this. And it happens after a couple weeks, it falls by the wayside. But God hears that, and he takes those seriously. And it's better, the scripture says, not to promise anything to God than to promise him something and not follow through with what we do. Because he hears and he takes those words seriously. He expects us to mean what we say. That when we say something, he expects our words to be true. Matthew chapter 5, verse 37, when Jesus was teaching about saying a vow, he said, all you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one, meaning that what we say, our word, should be enough. It used to be the day, Gene, you remember this, whenever deals were made in business, a handshake was enough. Your word was your bond, right, Gene? But you can't do that anymore. I mean, but that used to be the way it was, because when people spoke, you knew they meant it. But as believers and as Christians, that's what God calls us to. That when we speak, we mean what we say. And we have integrity in that. Now, James chapter 5, verse 12 says, above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, neither by heaven or earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. So meaning what we say. Because our Lord takes those words seriously, and also expects us to do what we say. That if we say we're going to do something, we follow through with it. And when Jephthah made this vow, he knew that before the Lord he had to carry it out. What brings us to what I found out this week, as I was studying this, and as some Bible scholars believe that he actually did offer his daughter as a sacrifice, as a burnt sacrifice, others believe that he gave her up to the Lord, like Hannah did with Samuel. Basic to live for the Lord in his service the rest of her life. And I kind of tend after, before I studied this, I kind of thought and leaned on the side that he actually offered her up as a burnt sacrifice. But what some of these teachers, other readers, scholars said made sense, because it was an abomination. It's an abomination for to bring a human sacrifice before the Lord. And the Lord wouldn't have accepted that. And Jephthah would have known that. And so I'm kind of tending to believe now that what he probably did was offer her up to the Lord as a sacrifice, that she served him the rest of her life and remained unmarried. And he still was grieving because he knew that he would never become a grandfather and his family line dynasty would end. But most likely, he might have just given her up to serve the Lord the rest of her life and remaining unmarried. But he did do what he promised, and he did keep his word. He did follow through. And the Lord expects us to do what we say. Numbers 31:2 says, Moses said to the heads of the tribes of Israel, this is what the Lord commands. When a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to obligate himself by a pledge, he must not break his word, but must do everything he said. And in Deuteronomy chapter 23, 21 and 23, it says, if you make a vow to the Lord, again, it says, if you make it, not that we have to, but if you decide to, the Lord your God, do not be slow to pay it. For the Lord your God will certainly demand it of you, and you will be guilty of sin. But if you refrain from making a vow, you will not be guilty. For whatever your lips utter, you must be sure to do, because you made your vow freely to the Lord your God with your own mouth. Again, making it clear that if we promise or commit anything to the Lord, it's our own choosing to do it, that what God expects us to follow through what we promise him. Because he takes those words seriously. Words matter. Words also matter because our words reveal our integrity. And Jephthah followed through, as difficult as it was. He followed through and he said, I made a vow to the Lord in verse 35. I made a vow to the Lord that I cannot break. And he kept his word even when it was difficult. That's when integrity comes in. When we keep our word even when it's difficult. And when it would be easy for us to not to. But Jephthah kept it, and he fulfilled his promise and vow to the Lord. Luke chapter 6, verse 49 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And well, what comes out of our mouth is just an indication of what's in our heart. And it shows the integrity of what's within us. out of the mouth comes what's in our heart, and that's where our integrity rises. So words matter, and words have consequences. From this story of Jephthah and the people surrounding him, we see what we say really matters and makes a difference. So be careful, tongue, what you say. Be careful of the commitments and promises you make before the Lord. If you don't intend to keep them, don't make them. Back in the movie Beauty and the Beast. Anybody remember the movie Beauty and the Beast? And whenever Beast is getting advice from Cogsworth and Lumiere on how to try to win Belle's heart and how to help Belle see past the ugly, hideous beast to what his really heart was like. And they were trying to give him counsel and advice. And Cogsworth said to him, offer her promises you don't intend to keep. Remember that line? He says, tell her promises you don't intend to keep. But God says, if you make it a promise, make sure you keep it. If you don't intend to keep it, don't make it. Don't commit something to the Lord that you're not willing to follow through in. Or to anybody else, because our words matter. And if you make a commitment, follow through on it. Because words matter. The Lord hears, and he calls us into account on it. He is the watchman. He is Mitzvah. He is keeping watch over what we say and over what we do. So be careful what you say, because words have consequences and words matter. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word here this morning that gives us guidance and direction. Because, Lord, if we're all honest, we all struggle with what we say. And James tells us that if a man is perfect in what he says, doesn't struggle in what he says, he's perfect. And we know none of us are. And we all have spoken in haste and have said something that later on we regret. We all have spoken in anger and have suffered the consequences for it. We have all spoken with resentment and bitterness that has caused division in a family. And sometimes those divisions are never, ever healed. And we hear, Lord, sometimes that people don't talk to each other for years because of something that was said so many years ago that they've never gotten over. And that division remains so active. And it can also lead us to distrust. So, Lord, our words do have consequences. And they matter to you because you hear them and take them seriously. So help us to learn the lesson from Jephthah and from your word this morning to guard our heart, because out of it come the issues of life. To be careful with what we say, because, Lord, you hear and you hold us accountable for that. Your word tells us that one day when we stand before you, we will have to give an account for every idle word spoken. So, Father, that's where we need your Holy Spirit to control, to help us tame our tongue, because, Lord, we can't do it on our own. Give us the wisdom to know when to speak, and give us the wisdom to know when to remain silent. For sometimes it's better not to say anything, or to make any commitments that we don't intend to fulfill or to live out. So, Father, thank you for the practical teaching of your word this morning that guides us, that we can apply to our life and live in. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.